I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, October 4th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride. And I have been sort of trying to explain history from a uniquely Christian perspective and offer insights and basically just say, this is the only way out of the mess that we find ourselves in. At the very least, you know, we could certainly all agree, I think, that America has experienced a moral decline over the last number of years, many years, decades, generations now. And there seems to be a corresponding effort to attack one group. You know, as we see the syncretist ecumenical movement, for example, that's one quarter of the syncretism, the ecumenical stuff. Let's merge all of Christianity, and that's been going on for a long time. I spoke last week about the fundamentalist modernist controversy, and you can see the same forces at work 100 years ago to try to amalgamate all sects of Christianity, if you will. And really, that's just an attempt to commingle and pollute Christianity and create this counterfeit Christianity. It's not a surprise what's going on 100 years ago, and that's why you fast forward to 1971, for example, and you have the book published anonymously under the nom de plume Helen Peters titled The Union Jack, which describes this plot. And I have read from the prologue many times, which includes this bit, seeing that Christianity could not be consumed by so many and great persecutions. We keep making martyrs, but they're just not getting the point. But from them instead, the impetus to fill the whole earth, the workers of wrath have attacked the conscience of the world by fabricating a counterfeit Christianity. A counterfeit Christianity. More deceptively, however, they have added the dimension of feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity. feigned persecution, which is why I always ask, you know, people say they're, you know, these people or those people are over there somewhere. And I ask, do you know any of them? Do you know someone who does know any of them? Well, maybe we should look a little deeper. Why is this happening? And so here's why it's happening. Feigned persecution to their stratagem of fundamental Christianity, in quotes, so, you know, air quotes. The reaction to which, so in dialectical fashion, the reaction to which is to deceive humanity into a world social state in the name of Jesus Christ. Americans will be surprised to learn that America is being used as a major incubator of this neo-Orthodox Christianity, which is not antagonistic to Marxian communism at all, but is indeed the spirit of it. And that's something to really chew on, I think, because that's where we're at. And I think the simplest conceptualization of communism I have arrived at is it's a counterfeit of the Acts chapter 2 Pentecostal moment. And I mean, it's simply that. It's trying to, that's the slogan of communism, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, which was what was happening in Acts chapter 2. The difference, of course, is that the Holy Spirit was obviously there at work among them versus communism, which is, you know, the world spirit, so to speak, at work, which, works through the so-called state, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a very subtle, sinister end run on Christianity. So these are the forces at work, and there's one thing that's being attacked predominantly. It's interesting how, you know, the conversations vary, but when it comes to the coexist stuff, for example, we're all supposed to be tolerant of different views and religions and this and that. But when it comes to kind of the central message of the Bible, that's the one thing that we're not supposed to tolerate. It's interesting how that's the thing that gets attacked in the ecumenical stuff. And we're supposed to, you know, from an Orthodox Christian standpoint, and that's redundant, but from that standpoint, someone might say we're supposed to entertain polluting the faith and diluting the faith. And that's the one thing that's kind of the central theme of the ecumenical movement. And people who don't understand the Christian faith are critical of that point because they don't understand it. And, rightly so, because again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 explains specifically, you know, the secret decoder ring is vital and essential. If you don't have that, then you won't understand it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, example, illustration. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Makes sense, right? Actually, backing up, yeah, verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages of to our glory. And this is that wisdom that the theosophists are always looking for. Maybe I'll talk about that. I don't want to dive into that dumpster, but maybe it's helpful. I don't know. We'll see. So, Helena Blavatsky, the madam of the Theosophical Society, back in The Theosophist, Volume 1, October 1879, wrote about this. So almost 150 years ago. She's writing extensively about this, and she writes about what is theosophy, what are the theosophists, and considerably more. So, you know, I've talked about the God of Spinoza lately. She writes, the primeval monad, you know, and of the Pythagorean system, you know, the circle with the dot in the middle of it, which retires into darkness and is itself darkness for human intellect, was made the basis of all things, and we can find the idea in all its integrity in the philosophical systems of Leibniz and Spinoza. That's an interesting clue. Therefore, whether a theosophist agrees with the Kabbalah, which, speaking of Ein Sof, propounds the query, who then can comprehend it, since it is formless and non-existent? Or remembering that magnificent hymn from the Rig Veda, etc., etc., skipping down, she writes, or even finally citing, etc., etc., maintains that nothing exists but substance or nature, which exists by itself without any creator. Any one of the above conceptions can lead but to pure and absolute theosophy, that theosophy which prompted such men as Hegel, Fichte. Remember, Fichte gets credit for the dialectic according to Bertrand Russell. Theosophy which prompted such men as Hegel, Fichte, and Spinoza to take up the labors of the old Grecian philosophers and speculate upon the one substance, the deity, the divine all, that's that combination of deism and monism, proceeding from the divine wisdom, incomprehensible, unknown, and unnamed by any ancient or modern religious philosophy with the exception of Christianity and Mohammedism. So it's interesting, you know, this, again, speaking of 1 Corinthians 1, the hint that you get to what's the quest of these people who are looking for something that they will never find, looking for the secret wisdom of God, but without God, is basically what Helena Blavatsky is writing about. And all these folks, on down the ages, she mentions Leibniz and Spinoza, Hegel, Fichte, and Spinoza, and others, obviously. As I've said, everybody that is revered in Western society, you know, as you look back historically, every intellectual, the major religious figures, maybe we'll dive down that rabbit hole at some point soon, they have all spent time in occult mystical stuff, Gnosticism and Kabbalah, and many of them are increasingly ungodly, meaning they start probably with some kind of Christian upbringing, someone like Karl Marx, for example, and then they depart from the faith at some point. In this quest for divine wisdom, theosophy, and it's a fruitless pursuit. It's an empty pursuit. So it's interesting that Paul writes, you know, Paul is an interesting fellow to know his background. You know, if anyone might be steeped in mystical knowledge and practice, it would be Paul. In other words, having the background that he has before he has his Damascus Road moment. From the Damascus Road moment forward, I would say that he shed the mystical nonsense. He saw it for what it was, and saw how much better actually knowing God is than knowing about him and trying to divine God's secret wisdom without actually knowing him. That's just a fruitless pursuit. So Paul writes, for indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. That's Kabbalah Gnosticism. Kabbalah and Gnosticism. Jews ask for signs, Kabbalah, and Greeks search for wisdom, Gnosticism. Combined, you could call that theosophy. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. So anyway, skipping ahead, not to get caught up in this, but hopefully this makes sense. It's a history lesson. What's been going on? There are folks who have been, you know, the entire course of Western history is filled with an unbroken thread of mystics, Gnostics, Kabbalists, and today it's kind of thrown in our face. You know, we play that clip every once in a while of Michio Kaku saying, oh yeah, the Kabbalah is great, and the Zohar, and so, you know, when I say that Chuck Missler at K House, it seemed like there was a creeping Talmudic influence, what I mean is, by degrees, there's this separation, this distancing. And so in that case, you know, you have the Torah and the Talmud and the Zohar and Kabbalah, and it's like degrees of separation from the pursuit of God himself and to draw close to him in orthodoxy. And so there's a similar thing that happens on the Greek side, so to speak. But 1 Corinthians 2, Paul writes, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. Well, that's what the Helena Blavatsky's are searching for, God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, capital S. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. If you want to know the secrets, Helena Blavatsky, there you go. That's how you know them. So continuing, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay, so that's the secret decodering. There you go. This is why I've maintained translations are not critically important. I have said that because, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who actually interprets, so to speak. And that's why, you know, prayerfully reading Scripture is the best, you know, highest form, most concentrated form of, you know, receiving his message, so to speak, if that makes sense. Anyway, regardless of translation, spiritual thoughts and spiritual words transcend translation. However, I do believe that the translations have been there's no question that things have been redacted intentionally, and it seems when you look, important things have been redacted with successive translations, and what it appears to me is happening is in this ecumenical effort and this syncretist effort, eventually the central passages to, you know, faith in Christ alone will be entirely redacted. That's the intention. And then the theosophists will be left only with this, you know, mystical book they can use, like with all of the other books, like they do in the Masonic lodges. We don't care. You can have the Torah, the Quran, the Bible, you know, whatever works. You got to have a holy book, though. So I think that's where it's headed. So in that sense, translations matter, and it's important to be vigilant. Go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadrepreciousmetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. All right, to the phones, John in Tennessee. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to comment on Acts chapter 2, but before I do, I want to kind of draw a parallel to Ezra, book of Ezra. You know, when the king asked who knew the God that had laid upon his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. He gave them instruction to go rebuild. So they took this four-month journey, and they began to rebuild. And what does the book say? It says their adversaries came in and said, hey, we want to serve him too. Let us help.
Right.
So well, it's Old Testament ecumenicalism. You know, hey, we want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jews responded by saying, you have no part of this. We're going to do what the king said to do.
Yeah.
So here we the Christ followers. Pardon me?
Sound like you were breaking up there a little bit.
Okay, the Christ followers don't understand the instructions, the book. They're allowing people to come in, hey, because we all serve the same God. We want to be, you know, the adversaries, those that are seeking to interfere with God's work are coming in as your
pig. Coming in as your what? You broke up there a little bit.
As your friend, as your
right.
coworker. They want to serve God too. When
of
they
course.
Don't, they just want to slow it down. So that's
right.
Modern day, all gods. Hey, doesn't matter who you are. We can all live together. Let's coexist.
Kumbaya.
And then fast. Hey, but the Bible says you'll know they're Christians by the love that they have for one another. Where's the
mm-hmm.
love?
Yeah.
You know, so fast forward to Acts chapter 2. But, you know, they sold all they had and they brought it in and they distributed it and they shared it. Chris, I'm of the belief, and I don't know about you or anyone else, but I don't think anyone knew who brought what, how much they brought.
Absolutely.
Where it came from. They just brought it.
100%. Okay?
They brought it because of love and they distributed it because of need, because they had love for one another. They had an abundance. And having been on both sides of that coin.
Yeah.
Are you losing me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, having been on both sides of that coin, I can tell you, it feels no one ever says in the church, in the Acts chapter 2 sense, no one ever demands it, and no one ever is forced to give it. They give it out of love, and they receive it, and those that receive it might say, well, I'll repay you. And the one that gave it says, I don't want it back. The Holy Spirit moved me to do this.
Yeah.
But in socialism and communism, it's demanded from those that they have no right to demand it from. And it's demanded by those that have no right to receive something that they did not earn.
Yeah.
It's the antithesis of Acts chapter 2. And it's painted because, hey, we're all on the same team. We want to help. Give me, give me, give me. Hey, you've got too much. What are two of you doing in a five-bedroom house? And watch it, folks. It's coming. We've got 20 people that can live in that five-bedroom house. What do you and your wife have a right to it for?
Yeah.
They're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Acts chapter 2. It's not Christianity. It's not brotherly love. It is the adversary coming in as your brother
or your sister. Important. John, it's an existential threat we face, the climate stuff and all of that, which is why Bill Gates crushed his fleet of planes, bulldozed his, you know, all of his mansions and is living in a townhouse. Oh, that's right. He didn't do that. Never mind.
Well, because he's one of the kings of the earth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, they look at themselves.
Yeah.
They look at us.
Yeah.
As the hive. Hey, I'm just a worker bee.
Yep.
And there's too many bees, so they want to split the hive. And if the hive makes it, fine. If they don't, fine. They really only want, you know, because bees multiply like you wouldn't believe. I was a beekeeper. They will
think
5,000 eggs a day. That's a lot of bees.
I think Rosa Corey contextualized Agenda 21 and, you know, Agenda 2030, et cetera, brilliantly when she said Agenda 21 is the effort to inventory and control all of the resources, including human, around the world.
And in 2007, the University of Washington, I will never forget watching this at about 4 o'clock in the morning. This guy was having a come apart, so thrilled because the technology existed to number everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I'd be interested in hearing your comments.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susannah's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret. SusannahSecret.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour. So there is a major initiative. I don't know which University of Washington professor you're referring to, John, who said that, but that was right around the time that IBM launched the Smart Planet, Smarter Planet Initiative. And
that was at the time of the TIA push, too.
Yeah, and I remember being at a family Thanksgiving event and hearing from one person in particular, don't say anything. Let's not create a disturbance here. And so I was doing my level best to be quiet, watching golf, and there was a commercial that came on about IBM's smarter carrots, smart carrots. You know, the smart carrot can tell the driver how fresh it is, and so that was the whole farm to fork thing. And I,
right.
You know, my lip bled trying to bite my lip. Isn't that weird? Don't you think it's weird that, you know, are we going to grow chips and carrots? Isn't that weird? So the Smarter Planet Initiative was going on, and that was the time when we were hearing about the unique UPC, the universal product code. You know, each product, each can of Coke can have its own unique one. And so now, you know, we've been hearing about that obviously from that time and before to give everything a unique identifier. And that will help, for example, when Amazon buys Whole Foods and gets rid of the employees. So you can just walk in and each can has its own unique identifier, and you can just buy it without.
That was part of, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that was part of this talk at the University of Washington, was basically what field that lot of seeds went into, who harvested, what truck it went on, what box it
right.
was in, what store
right.
it went to, and with the smart fridge, which fridge it went in, whether or not yep. it was expired, the fridge would actually tell you, you've got 3 days left till your milk
that's right.
boils. Do you want me
that's
to
right.
order and new milk?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So basically, I guess what I'm trying to get at is to go back to the whole idea of Acts chapter 2. Listen, if you have an abundance, and I can tell you from you and I have talked about it, personal experience, you're carrying some extra cash in your wallet. That you, hey, it's nice to have some extra cash in your wallet. I'm not wealthy. But you got a little extra, you got something you want, so you stash it back, but you never touch it. And then this little voice, I believe the Holy Spirit, says, hey, what are you doing with that in your wallet? And then you reply in your mind, nothing. I just got it. And you go. And then that little voice, the Holy Spirit, says again, why don't you do something with it? And you know that it's the Holy Spirit telling you to give it away.
Well
who are you
going to
give
say...
it to?
I would say it's one of those, when those things happen, it's obviously a rhetorical question. And in that case, it's kind of like God asking, you know, Adam and Eve, where are you guys? And
right.
who told you were naked? So it's kind of a, what are you doing with that? And the answer is probably, hanging on to it.
I want a pistol. That's yeah. what I was doing. I want a pistol. Did I need one? No, but I found one I wanted. Anyway, so you put it in an envelope. You don't put anybody, you don't put what's in the envelope. Just put it in an envelope and wait for the Spirit of God to direct you who needs it. And then when no one's looking, drive by their house, put their name on it, drive by their house, put it in the mailbox. Don't say who it's from. Don't do anything. Or go set it on a seat where you know they're going to find it with their name on it. And disappear. Don't look for recognition so you can say, I done it. Don't look for recognition so they can come back and say, thank you. Just do it. And I'm telling you, by the time you get home, he's able to do more with 50% than you can do with 100. If you give 50% away, believe it. You can do more with 50 if God's in you giving 50% away than you can do with 100 if you keep it.
Yep.
And you'll see it. You don't do it to receive it. You do it because you know you can't not do it or God's going to give you a spanking. You know? I mean, I don't know how to explain it. I've been on both ends of it. And it feels good to just put it to... Make it available to someone that needs it. Don't and not look for anything from it. Just make it available and see what happens to your heart. see the joy that it brings you, because, hey, we all have needs, and some people can meet their needs and others can't. And when someone can't, and it comes from what they believe nowhere, and God's involved in it, man, it's it can change the world.
Yep.
We won't have to have welfare if Christians will just do what they're supposed to do. There'll be no one drawing a wick check.
Okay, so speaking of welfare, let me give a practical example of a conversation that I've had recently. We got other calls we got to get to, but this is okay. I think this is important. It is interesting how, you know, again, the social welfare system changes people's thinking in subtle ways that we don't realize. And so, you know, I was having a conversation about unemployment insurance the other day, and, you know, Chris, what are your thoughts on unemployment? And do you really want to know? I don't think it's a good thing. I think for a variety of reasons, it's not a good thing. So you pay money as an employer into a pool or a fund. Who's managing that? That just lends itself to malfeasance.
Corruption.
And yeah. And so that's a problem. Why isn't the employer able to make use of their own revenue that they've generated? But, you know, from a person collecting unemployment, you think about, first of all, the kinds of things that the Bible says about how we're supposed to labor with our own hands. It's interesting that specific context is used, you know, labor with our own hands. And so we're encouraged to do that. But, you know, if you think about, I don't know, the things that somebody like Thomas Sowell or Walter E. Williams or, you know, other folks have said about how throughout the past several decades in the black community, for example, it's been a stated fact. You know, Thomas Sowell has talked about how mothers were encouraged, if they want welfare, you know, there can't be a man in the house. Okay, well, then we got to get rid of the guy. And that causes a certain trajectory and momentum. So I think that unemployment works the same kind of way. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, this is a guarantee over here, I can take that. But if I do that, you know, from a Christian perspective, speaking specifically, I guess, from that perspective, if you take that guarantee, I feel like it correlates to, you know, the things that Jesus said when he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward in full." That's your reward in full. But if you don't take that, you know, maybe you're even a disgruntled employee that says, you know what, those guys deserve to have it stuck to them because they took advantage of all these employees. And so this person asking me, you know, what do you think? I mean, and I said, do you think, like, in the vast majority of cases, is the agreement up front, hey, you know, we want to pay you this much, and if something happens, feel free to collect unemployment insurance? That's never the agreement. It, on rare occasions, you know, I know of rare exceptions where maybe in seasonal kinds of things, you know, in certain kinds of construction and stuff, guys will say, hey, you know what, we would love to keep you on through the winter, but obviously things slow down to basically, you know, a dead halt. And so we encourage you to collect unemployment, and then in the spring, if things work out, hopefully we can bring you back on. I know, I think some, you know, most of us know certain businesses do that, but that's an exception. Those are rare exceptions. And so generally, if the agreement is you show up and we will pay you this much to show up, so to speak, then if you collect unemployment, isn't that a violation of that agreement? Because you never agreed to that. They never agreed to that. And so you start thinking this through, even if they deserve it, if you say, you know, I'm not going to do that, from a, you know, say a purely Christian perspective, if you don't do that and you trust God to handle it, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and hopefully, you know, this is a good thing. And even if you think they deserve to get whatever's coming to them, Paul reminds us, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, do not take revenge yourself. And doing that, like you said, it makes for a better, more cohesive, peaceful world, but it also leaves room for God to handle things
his
way.
Show his power.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows what miracles might be on the other side of that. Not just blessing
right,
for the
I'll
person
make room.
Who's doing that.
Thank you, Chris.
You bet. Thank you, John. Much appreciated. Yeah, not just for the person, you know, in that situation, but also, you know, hopefully that person's praying for their employer and, you know, maybe the other people involved in that business and all of that. And my goodness, what happens in that kind of a world? Hopefully things are better and brighter. Back to the phones, Glenn in Philly. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hi.
Good morning, Glenn.
Well, I had another idea that I called in about, but so previous caller here, you know, an appeal to sharing and selflessness. How about being a little bit sharing and a little more selfless about radio time? There's a phenomenon occurring, Chris, across the board on RBN, where it's turning into the same 6, 8, or 10 callers calling in to all the programs throughout the day and droning on with long agendas, prepared sermons, itemized checklists, and, you know, and then making themselves into mini guests and droning on and on and on. And, you know, so, and like I say, it's the same, most probably more like 6 or 8 voices over and over and over again. Every different program all throughout the day. Now, I've been a gadfly on here for a long time. I call in, I've had my times where when things are completely dead, you and I have had longer conversations. That's not the case now. People are waiting in the queue. And we all have to wait for the same sermonizers over and over and over. And the hosts aren't functioning as moderators. Okay, they're, you know, becoming codependent to this dynamic. And again, it's just the same. I don't have 20, 30, 40 minutes to wait every time I have a 2-minute idea to share. You know, I call in, occasionally, I think people should call, you know, they should have a question or a comment, 1 or 2 questions or comments. And then, you know, instead of having a rule that says, 1 call per day, how about each call being limited, like kids waiting at the water fountain at school? Okay. Get back to the line. If you want more, you have to get to the back of the line and wait. Because, you know, it's getting to be obnoxious. So I hope to be able to call this to the attention of the board of directors through somebody at some point. So, you know, maybe get the host to discuss this stuff.
Sure.
To get this under control. Because it's just gotten, you know, out of my control, in my opinion, out of control, in my opinion. And I'd like to, I'd like to hear more different voices calling in with a point or two and then moving on and stirring the pot and keep going instead of the same, you know, droning sermonizing from the same 6 or 8 people. Thanks, Chris. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah. Point taken. I think, I don't know. Some people might say it's ironic. I think some people have said that in the past, but I think your point is valid. We all should be respectful of one another. I think that what John and I just discussed was not in the purview of the canned sermon stuff. You know, the unemployment thing I think is a big deal. I think it speaks to other things. And so I think that was a little different, but I understand your point, and it's a valid point. So appreciate it. And I mean, just a sort of a look behind the wizard's curtain, so to speak. My understanding, I don't know who talks to who. Maybe I'm out of the loop, but I don't, you know, there's very, very little back chat. So, you know, there's a little bit, but not much that goes on, and it's kind of the Wild West. And from my perspective, at RBN, not, you know, not in a bad way, but in a good way. I mean, there's a lot of autonomy, as I've always said, you know, whenever I was on the National Intel Report with John or, you know, called in or whatever, he would, whenever he asked, or, you know, we would talk about that, I would mention it is, you know, there is a, basically there's total autonomy and there isn't a whole lot of chatter which might influence, you know, I mean, all the hosts are not, we don't have that phenomenon where all of a sudden we're all on the same cycle, if you know what I mean. Maybe that's crass, but you know what I'm saying. Those kinds of things don't happen, but who knows? Maybe there'll be talk. I mean, there is a little bit, not too much. Anyway, we'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My friend, is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, oh,
To the phones. In the interest of time, Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
I like the conversation between John and you. I enjoy it. I agree with Lynn and Philly. Strongly agree with him. But what I was going to talk about or mention is, if you're going to study the Bible, I suggest that you start with the King James Version. And as you progress, your understanding, your information you take in, and then the understanding that information, well, you could go to other Bibles. It confuses you. It can very likely confuse you. But the stronger that you study the King James Version, I believe strongly that it prepares you and protects you. As an example, the New King James Version, there's so much left out of it, more than even the NIV. And then my own church, which I haven't been there in quite a long time, half the people read from the New King James Version, and the other half the King James Version. And you could be reading the same verse, the words are different. But why people read the New King James Version, it's more in the vernacular of the words that are used today.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have to say is that, and God never leaves you, Christ never leaves you without a prophet. And we do have a prophet. And the more you understand the Bible, and can start to understand prophecy. Prophecy tells you about the present truth. What's happening today, this minute, this hour. And the prophecy in the Bible, that has been fulfilled. It has been fulfilled today. So that's proof. That's the Bible, and I'm speaking specifically.
Yeah, we're at the end of the hour, so we're headed into the second hour. Stick around, folks. Second hour coming up right after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.